I am second. When we come to realize what that means and how powerful that is in our lives, when we know there's a sequence that happens in life that sets our life in order. And if one of those sequences is out of balance, then it throws everything else off balance in our life. And the number one sequence that we must get right every single time is putting Christ in His proper place in our life. Because one of the most powerful statements that he made in that clip was, he said, I'm that terrorist. And you know, whenever we learn how to put Christ in our lives and realize that he could do what we cannot, but through our yieldedness, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen. And so this whole month of March, I'm going to be talking about I am second. And what I want from you is, and I want this to be a big evangelistic push in our church, is I've gotten some bracelets that says, and I've got one on right now and I've been wearing it all week long, it says I am second on it. And basically it's a conversation starter. And wear it to work, wear it out to eat, wherever you go, and let it speak for itself. We went out to eat for our birthday a few nights ago, and I've got these cards that says I am second on it. And on the back of it, it has our church information, what time it starts, our website, everything you can know about New Freedom Church is right here on this card. And I would ask that if you're willing to take some of these cards with you to work or to Walmart or to the gas station or out to eat and leave it with your tip. But leave a good tip, would you? Because our church's name is on here, all right? And more important, we represent a God that is not stingy, amen? So if you're going to leave this with your tip, make sure it's right, all right? But I've been leaving it at the gym, left it at the bowling alley last night, left a whole row of them on the counter. And people are scared to talk about their faith, but this is a good buffer. It's an invitation. Hey, I want you to come to my church. My pastor's preaching a series called I Am Second. You really need to come and check it out. And so if you would like some of these wristbands, I want to ask if, Dana, maybe you could help me out, Gerald, Mike, if you guys would help me out. We're going to pass these out. And if you want some, just raise your hand. We're going to get those to you. Also, these cards as well. Johnny, could you help me out? Jacob, could you help me out? Pass some of these out. Just give them four or five apiece. Be generous with them. Here you go. Jillian, will you pass these out? Be generous with them. Leave them. Leave them places. Leave them in a bathroom somewhere. Leave them at a restaurant. Leave them at the bowling alley, Walmart. I had this one couple, they went into Walmart and put them in every crate of eggs they could find. Now, I don't know if that's right or not, but that's what they did. But just be creative with it. It's a conversation starter. It's hard whenever you're to talk about your faith and just bring it up. But this is a good way to do that. It gives you an excuse to bring it up. And I'm not asking you just to go out and witness, but if you want to, that's fine. That's cool too. But just take these as conversation pieces. And if you want some more, I've got them right here. Honey, will you come and grab that for me? All right. If you would do something with me, would you stand up this morning? We are going to be finishing our love series. How many of you guys have gotten something out of this? I hope so. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to start with verse 4. We'll start with verse 4 and go through verse 8 and skip down to verse 13. All right. Now my Bible may read just a little bit different. If you don't have your Bible, just look up there on the stage there on the screen. Verse 4, it says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God working all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's the given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To others, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one of the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines." Let's skip down to verse 12. You know what? I just read the entire different scripture, didn't I? Why didn't somebody stop me? What's the matter with you guys? Come on, Jimmy. This ain't your first rodeo. What's the matter with you? Oh, man, that is hilarious. Dana, you're Dana, you just let me read that entire scripture. I can't believe you did. Oh, man, that's hilarious. Randy, edit all that, would you? All right, here we go. Verse 4, chapter 13. Jeez. All right. Love, love is patient. Love is kind. There we go. Now we're right on. Here we go. Matter of fact, about five verses down, I'm going, this isn't right. This isn't right. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Skip down to verse 9. Verse 13. And now there are three that remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You guys turn around and shake your neighbor's hand. Tell them it's good to see them here today. Say, pray for the pastor. You don't know what he's talking about this morning.
We still love you.
Good grief. My goodness. Good to see you. Nice to see you. Yeah, you guys can be seated. All right. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much that your Holy Spirit is here, speaking to our hearts. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your compassion that you have shed abroad in our heart. We thank you, Father, that you have rescued us. You have never abandoned us. Even when we feel like you're the furthest thing away from us, you're so close to us. And I thank you, Lord, that your word declares that you would never leave us, you would never forsake us. And more importantly, Father, you declare that you love us with an everlasting love. And I thank you so much for that. And Father, this morning, I pray that for those that are here this morning that have never received your love would receive it today and put you in their proper place in their life. And so, Lord, I thank you for your anointing for me to teach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're talking today about lust and love and the difference between the two. We see that in our country, on television, in commercials, in all of our movies, you see it in the advertisements and everything. You look at the Super Bowl advertisements and the cars and all these different things, and you see that they're trying to sell their products with lust, with sex, with all of those things, because they know that that kind of shocking advertising sticks into your brain. But where we have gotten confused is whenever we're talking about the difference between what lust is and what love is. And so I want to talk about those two. Now, while the passion of love and lust can feel the same, the difference is its ultimate direction. Love is always outward focused. Always outward focused. Lust is focused on itself. Lust is consumed with itself. And when it gets what it's lusting after, it's never enough. It wants to go to the next thing and consume that. Go to the next thing and consume that. Because lust is always self-consuming. It is arrogant and rude. And it always, always, always wants its way. And there's no compromise with lust. But we read in the Word of God what love is. Love never fails. Love is patient and kind. It keeps no records of wrongs. That's amazing. It's huge. It keeps no records of wrongs. How many of you guys keep records of wrongs in your life? All of our hands should go up. It's not that we have a book that we put down all the wrongs that happen in our life, but it just happens. We store it away in our brain and we can't get it out. When people wrong us, it's a dramatic thing, so it sticks out, and there it is. But love, the Bible says, keeps no records of wrong. There is a reporter by the name of Malcolm Murgridge. He traveled the world doing the latest stories, is always in combat situations, always the first one on the scene. He was, you know, just constantly traveling all the time. Now, this reporter, Malcolm, loved his family, loved his wife and his kids, but he stayed going all the time. He was in a third world country one day, and he was lonely, and there was no way to call his wife and talk to her, to hear her voice. And he began to compromise things in his life. And he got so lonely, one day he was down in the river and he was bathing. And he saw down the river a woman that was bathing as well. And she was way down the river and her back was turned to him. And he looked upon her like David looked at Bathsheba, and lust consumed his heart. And he began to contemplate going down there and approaching her and offering her money for services. And he contemplated and he contemplated it, and he kept staring and looking. And finally he had reason within himself that he's lonely and that what he's doing is justified, and hopefully his wife will forgive him. Or better yet, maybe she'll never find out. So he began to make his way down the river, and he came up to this lady. And as he made his way upstream to the lady in the distance, she turned around. And as he pecked her on the shoulder, she turned around, and to his astonishment, he found out that as she turned around, half of her face had been consumed with leprosy. This man was irritated at her. He began to scold her and to scream at her for enticing him to come down there. Looking into the cavity at this unclean woman, he stopped and realized who was the more unclean of the two. She had been consumed by a disease that took her face, but he had been given full throttle to a cancer that consumed his heart. I want us to look and take a hard look at the difference between what lust and love is today, because our country, our society has it all wrong. Just like the gentleman on the screen on the campaign that I just showed you. And he said, there was a moment that I know that I could have gotten out of my safe place and went to rescue my enemy, but I didn't do it. And he said, I was unwilling to die for my enemy. And he stopped and he paused and he said, I'm that terrorist. I'm that terrorist. And the same is true whenever we look at the face of what lust truly is. It's something that is decaying, something that is rotten, something that we look at and we see that it entices us for a little while, but it leaves us empty and wanting every single time. You know, advocates of pornography want to say that lust is natural. And I'm going to be honest with you, it is. It is natural. But you know, the Sahara Desert is a natural place, but you don't see me living in it. Amen. And we need to understand that just because something is natural doesn't mean that it's beneficial. Paul said, all things are permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. And so we need to understand that as believers that we have to have a clear understanding of what the true love of God is because it's written clearly in His Word. In verse 4, let's take a look at it again in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never, ever fails. And so, ladies, if there is a man that is vying for your attention and he tells you that he loves you quickly, you measure what he says according to the will of God and not according to what your emotions are telling you. Amen? Men, do the same thing. Measure what love is to the Word of God. How would it save us so much hurt and pain in our life if we would simply measure our lives and our situations according to the Word of God? If it doesn't line up with the Word, then it doesn't line up with our life, and it's not worth our time. Amen? Because the Word of God is living and active. It is constant. It is always relevant for our lives. There's nothing in the Word of God that we cannot relate to, that we cannot consume, that we cannot place inside of our lives so that it will be a guide to our lives. The Bible is very explicit when it talks about the love of God and what love is. It starts saying that love is. It gives a clear definition. It's not something that is taboo. It's not something that is in a gray area. The Bible explicitly tells us what love is. Love, the word is definitive. It marks what is. And whenever the Bible says love is or whatever is, we need to give careful attention to what the Bible is giving us as a definition. And the Bible speaks clearly about what love is. It doesn't say love might be. It doesn't say love is going to be. It says love is. Not allegedly, Not supposedly, but love is. Lust is nothing less than a manifestation of love gone wrong. It is the cry. It is a the cry of a desperate heart to be loved. Every single one of us wants to be loved. Now, the only problem with this is love. Love was never meant to gratify itself. When we look with the motive of only gratifying ourselves, we turn around and find that what was beautiful from the back is hideous from the front. And that if we're craving that which we're lusting after more than we are craving for the presence of God in our life, and it alters our life, and it creates inside of us a selfishness that everyone can see but us, we need to listen to the Word of God and understand that lust is consuming our life, that it can control us. We talked again in 1 Corinthians 13 about what love is. Now, there's a huge difference when it comes to these two. I was reading about some of the, movie stars in the past, and Marilyn Monroe popped up in my head. This lady, I read about her and about her background, and she came from a broken home. Her mother gave her up, and so she was shifted around from foster home to foster home until the age 16 came around, and there was a man that was in his mid-30s that took her and married her because she didn't marry for love. She married because she didn't want to be shuffled again into another foster home. And so she married out of desperation. She married out of what this guy could give her. And I read in her biography about how this man loved her. But at the age of 18, her career started taking off in modeling. And she began to be consumed with this whole thing, and they were divorced. She, in 1952, she married a little-known baseball player. You guys may have heard his name before, Joe DiMaggio. You guys ever heard his name? Probably one of the best players of baseball. He wanted a private honeymoon, but she wanted the paparazzi and the cameras to follow them everywhere they went. He was private, and he loved her very dearly, but she loved herself and her career and everything that her body could give her more than she loved him. It's ironic that when she died, that Marilyn Monroe, her first husband, said, "I am so sorry to hear that she passed away." DiMaggio, on the other hand, started a tradition that added to the mystique of her passing. Every year a rose would appear at her gravesite every single year on the same night. No one could figure it out, but it was DiMaggio the whole time because he loved her. He loved her. And she lusted after the things of this world so much that whenever love was staring her in the face, she couldn't recognize it. And some of us today may be in the same place. Maybe you've been hurt so many times. Maybe your life is like Marilyn's in some point where maybe you've been shifted around. Maybe you don't know what true love is. Maybe every time that you stuck your neck out to figure out and to make yourself vulnerable for what love is, you've gotten it cut off. And I want to tell you today that there is a man that is demonstrating his love for you and has given you a clear sign, a clear definition, a clear statement of what his love is all about, and it's written in 1 Corinthians 13. And his heart is for you so passionately, so fiercely for you, that I want you to receive that today. My prayer is the whole time that I've been praying this week is that God, you would open up each and every eye to what true love is all about. No matter how jaded the heart, no matter how broken it may be, no matter how bitter or frustrated or angry you may be, to break through that hurt and allow your love to flood their hearts and their minds and their soul. And today I want to present to you a love that is worth finding. Now, I want to talk to you about, there's this lady, and I asked Ron to help me pronounce her last name, and or Gerald rather, and so if I mess it up, he messed it up. All right. Have you guys ever heard a lady's name by the name of Agnes Bahiju? Huh? Bahiju? Agnes Bahiju? Well, she came from a broken family as well. She was born in 1910 in an obscure little town in an even more obscure little country of Macedonia. Agnes lost her father at the age of 7. She never found love in a man, but at the age of 18, found it in her Savior. She decided to become a nun and devoted her life to Jesus. 20 years later, she convinced the Vatican and the city of Calcutta to let her start a hospice in an old abandoned Hindu temple. Can anybody gather who I'm talking about? Calcutta are to give it away. Mother Teresa, that's right. There amongst thousands of abandoned and thrown away people, she committed to giving them love before they died. She was later given the name the Blessed Teresa. She started out in life broken, but that didn't define who she became. Because at the age of 18, she found herself in love with the Savior, and his name is Jesus. Now, even though I'm not a priest and you're not a nun, we can do the exact same thing. There is a Savior that is calling our name, that is saying, I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what background you have come from. I don't care how many hurts that you have or how many disappointments that you've had in religion or with men or with women or with relationships in the past or whatever you're going through. I am here for you, and I love you fiercely, and I love you intensely. I created you for a specific reason, and if you allow my love to come in, I will define who you are by who I am. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And if you've seen the Father, you have seen me. Jesus identified himself with the Father. And because he did, and because he set that example, we can identify ourselves with Christ. Being a Christian means this: accepting that perfect and that raw and that intense love into your life and allowing yourself and your hurts to melt away. And the only way that you can do that is by trusting. The only way you can do that is by yielding. The only way that you can do that is by simply stepping aside. Now, I'm not trying to minimize hurt. I'm not trying to minimize family situations. But when we entrust our hurts to the Savior of the world, then He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will put you in a place that you've never thought you would ever be before. And He will cause you to rise above the wreckage of what was your life and cause you to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Amen? How many of you guys want to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus? It all starts with being identified with the love that surpasses understanding, with a love that is clearly defined, with a love that is trustworthy, with a love that will never let you down, with a love that is constant, with a love that is long-suffering. What does that mean, long-suffering? It means patient. It means that when everybody else says, I'm done, you've wore me out, I can no longer handle it anymore, The Lord is saying, I am right there with you. I'm beside you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Why does he say that? It's because he is so invested in your life from the moment he conceived you in his heart that he will never, ever, ever let you slip away. But the only way that we can have that love is by receiving that love. Well, Pastor, I don't understand everything about the Bible. I don't understand about, you know, everything about Jesus. All you have to understand is that he loved you and that he died for you. And that if you ask him into your life, you ask him to be the Lord of your life, he will come in and he will begin to define you in a new way. He will begin to set your life on a different course. He will begin to create inside of you a new countenance, a new way of thinking. Maybe you're the person that is so negative, people just can't hardly be around you. Maybe you're someone that can just suck the life out of the room. Maybe you're so wounded that you can't receive love because you don't know what it is and you run from it when it presents itself. Whatever the case is today, may your days of running be over this morning. May your healing begin in the hearing of my voice. May the love of Christ saturate your heart, your mind, and your spirit so that you can be set free from yourself today. Because there is a bondage that is called self, and that self will never let you feel healing. It'll never let you feel peace. It will never let you feel what true love is. It's only when we abandon self and we run to the Savior that we can be set free and healed today. Amen? It's the love of the Savior. Now, church, I won't lie to you. The bright, intense heat of lust easily overpowers the light of love that we are after. But the heat is temporary, whereas the light is forever. Sometimes we get so blinded by our own lusts. We get so heated and so consumed by our own passions and our own wants. And we run after that heat long after it with reckless abandon. And when we finally capture what we lusted after, we realize that that lust and that heat was temporary. And it can't satisfy. It leaves us wanting even more, causing us to lust even more. But the light that is found only in Christ illuminates our life and defines who we are forever. It's the light of Christ. It's his love. It's his passion for you and I. If you are set on getting love for yourself, you will never find it. You know, in Bible college, in orientation, they would call it the bridal college. Because all the girls were going there to find themselves a preacher husband. And all the guys were going there to find a Christian wife. And so guys would get so consumed in finding a wife that they forgot why they came to school in the first place. And I was an RA in school, so I had to, head RA, and so I had to counsel guys all the time concerning lust and concerning what they're supposed to be here for. The rules, they get caught up in the rules, and the rules, they get angry about the rules because some of the rules were strict. The rules were strict because they wanted you to be focused on what you were there for. You're there because you've got a call of God on your life and you're studying to get that call of God to learn more about the call of God on your life and to be focused on that and not relationships, not getting yourself a lady, not getting yourself a man, but to study, to show yourself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed but can rightly divide the word of truth. But I counseled so many guys that I counseled one guy that was engaged 4 times while he was in Bible school. 4 times in a 2-year program. Yeah. He is divorced and still dating today. And I asked him, I said, what is the matter with you? We went to youth group together. I said, what is the matter with you? Four times? This is ridiculous. You're not giving the same ring, are you? He goes, no. I said, yeah, right. But he got so wrapped up in finding love and relationships that he began to lust after that which he wanted so badly. And he got wrapped up in it, and it wasn't enough because he asked four different girls. And so many times, we find ourselves doing the same thing. We're lusting after things that we shouldn't be lusting after. And when we find out that what it is that we've lusted after and we finally got it in our hands, we turn it around for what it truly is. And it's that woman that was in the, it was that woman that was in the river. And we turn it around and we find that leprous face, that something that once was beautiful has now become corrupt, has become diseased. And so many times our hearts are diseased because of the lust of our life, the pride of life, the seeking after our own wants. When we do that, we cloud and hide our light, and it becomes extinguished because our lusts have consumed that precious light. And so I want to encourage you today to give out love. But the only way that you can give it out is by first receiving, first tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Because I'm going to tell you, when you give Him your life, when you give Him your heart, when you give Him your peace and your rest, when you give Him everything that it is you, and you say, Father, I want to know that love, He will flood your heart. He will flood your life, and you'll never be the same. Ever be the same. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. Come on up. I want to read this again. 1 Corinthians 13:4. And if you would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. I want you to pay attention to my voice this morning. God clearly defines His love. And He said, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never, ever fails. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Today, this morning, as we wrap up the series on love, with your head bowed and eyes closed, I can tell as I'm preaching, as I'm speaking and teaching, there's folks here today that need to receive that love. Maybe you've been running, maybe you've been so consumed with your life, with your own pursuits, with your own goals, and maybe you started out right, but the end result was it turned into lust. It turned into something that was so driven in your life that maybe it made you mean. Maybe it made you frustrated. Maybe it left you wanting. Today there's a Savior who's standing at the ready and is saying to you, if you will invite me in, I will come in and I will restore all the things that the enemy tried to kill you with. And I will make you new. New in Christ Jesus. Today, if that's you, I want you to come and I want to pray with you. If that's you today and you want to accept Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, today is your day. Do not wait. Do not wait. Come quickly. Know Him today. Know Him today. I'm going to wait because I know there are some. And I know I'm going against all the rules about altar services, but listen to me. I beg you to come this morning. Today, if you are struggling with knowing the heart of God, knowing His passion and His will and His direction for your life, I want you to come. Dana, would you come up? Steph, would you come up? There are two ladies standing up here this morning that'll pray with you. They'll talk with you, share with you what the heart and the love of the Father is all about today. Don't wait. Come on. It's okay. There's no shame in it. I always say that the shame is deciding to stay right where you're at, right in the mess you're in, and right in the life you're living. If you're here today and you feel the Lord tugging on your heart, come on up. Let us pray with you. Let us point you in the right direction, because the Lord is here today. I'm just going to begin to pray over you. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. Everybody's head bowed and eyes closed. You say, Pastor, that's me. You're talking to me. That's my heart this morning. Would you raise your hand so that I can pray over you? Amen. Anybody else? Father, I come before you this morning, and I ask, Lord, that your love that is found in 1 Corinthians 13 would begin to flood into their lives, that you would make them whole and right in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that all their striving would come to an end. God, all their working and all their lusting would come to an end. They would find you as Lord and Savior today, that your love would fill their heart so intensely, so purely, Lord. Allow your love to saturate their lives today. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding lead and guide them, flood their lives today. I thank you so much, God, that you are with us, that your love guides our life. Your love changes us. Your love defines us. And I ask, Father, that you would make each and every person new today that has come forward, that has raised their hands. May they receive the love of Christ. They would repent of their sin and follow you for the rest of their days. May they truly receive what love is. What love is. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for your great love, for your intense passion over our lives. And Father, we rejoice because you loved us first. You gave us a a way to experience peace and joy. You've set inside of us a love worth finding. A love that is so true and so right. We thank you for your love this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just talk to the Lord this morning as we're praying. Be real with him. You don't have to use religious words. Just use your own words. Say, Lord, teach me. Teach me your love. Teach me, Father. Lord, heal my heart this morning. Heal my heart this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you so much. You are so good. You are so good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, I feel like there's somebody here today. Your heart is just completely broken. And you can't figure out how to make that hurt go away. You've tried all kinds of different options, and you've talked to friends, and you've done all of these things, but yet still your heart is breaking. Today I want you to know the Lord is speaking directly to you. He wants to heal that heart. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray over that broken heart, that broken spirit. God, that you would bring complete and total healing. May your peace, may your love restore and heal that broken heart, that broken spirit, in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak your peace and your healing over that heart now in Jesus' name. God, may you bring complete and total restoration, complete healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. May the love of God that surpasses all understanding flood their hearts and minds today in Christ Jesus. May they walk in the fullness, the full measure of your love. Let that healing bring complete peace and rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You, we have folks that are standing down here this morning. Come and let them pray over you and love on you. Hallelujah.